Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
What if everyone at work were an expert communicator? What if every doc, message, and email they wrote was perfectly clear and concise? Inbox numbers would drop, customer satisfaction scores would rise, and everyone would be more productive. That's what happens when you give Grammarly to your entire team. Grammarly is a secure AI writing partner that understands your business and can transform it through better communication. Companies that use Grammarly save an average of 19 days per employee per year. That's because with Grammarly's AI, what used to take a few hours only takes a few clicks, like generating an instant first draft in your company voice or tailoring a message to your specific audience and goals. And Grammarly's personalized on-brand writing help is built in everywhere your team works, across 500,000 apps and websites. Plus, it's safe, secure, and already IT approved. Join 70,000 teams who trust Grammarly with their words and their data. Learn more at Grammarly.com. Grammarly. Easier said, done.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Like, have my next three watches are planned out as far as what they're going to be. That's a good tone, right?
What there. Do you mean you just planned your next three watches? Who plans watches?
I do. I'm going to get a Planet Ocean, then a Breitling B100, and then a IWC Big Pilot.
Jonah, wake up!
No, oh my God, I just had the worst dream.
Was it a dream where Matt was talking about watches?
Were you there?
I had the same dream.
Oh my God!
Oh my God! We're dream jumping. And then we're dreamscaping.
He's the worst kind of Freddy Krueger style thing.
Oh, wait,
he shows up in your dreams. Good at all. I don't know.
I also got my new flashlight, my Surefire 6PX Tactical. It's 200 lumens. Check this out. Ready?
Lumen, like the character from last season of Dexter.
It'll temporarily blind an assailant. Yeah.
Guys, I saw perhaps the best thing I've seen in ages last night.
Titties.
Second best thing.
Second time you made that joke today.
I've seen it. Yeah, we didn't make it before on the podcast, so. Yeah.
So it doesn't really count. It doesn't really count.
Well, he makes fun of me for when I do that. What'd you see?
All right, here we go. So the National Theater in London, England, is doing this thing where they've partnered with a shitload of movie theaters around the country, and they basically show live performances in movie theaters around the country of shit that's going on at the National Theater. And so I went to see a production of Frankenstein, which was directed by Danny Boyle.
Oh, yeah. Whoa.
And
yeah.
It is fucking awesome.
At downtown, right?
Well, they're showing it at Downtown Independent. We saw it at Man's Chinese.
Okay.
The production we saw actually was not live. It was a recorded production, but it had just happened like the day before.
Sure.
And so Danny Boyle's Frankenstein, which sounds funny, but it stars Johnny Lee Miller and Benedict Cumberbatch, who I still maintain really is the name of that should be a potions professor at Hogwarts. But Benedict Cumberbatch, most British name ever, is Sherlock in the new BBC Sherlock.
You know,
and he's fucking awesome on that show.
Kumail's been trying to get me to come over to watch the new Sherlock.
It is phenomenal, and Benedict is great, and Martin Freeman's in it. But so what's going on in Danny Boyle's Frankenstein is that Johnny Lee Miller and Benedict Cumberbatch every night swap roles between the creature and Frankenstein.
Oh, wow.
But by the way, Frankenstein is not the monster's name. That is the doctor's name. So I know the nerds listening just know that. But anyway. Yeah.
Frankenstein's monster.
Frankenstein's monster. And right. So I saw the production with Benedict as the creature. And at first I was like, oh, I think he would make a better Victor Frankenstein because he was such a great Sherlock. And, you know, he was I was convinced. I am now convinced that Benedict Cumberbatch is. I know you can't say his name without giggling a little bit. He may be one of the best actors in the world right now. Like his, and Johnny Lee Miller was phenomenal. Oh my God, it was so good. So good. So if you just Google National Theater and Frankenstein, you'll get the website. You'll get the information. I think it's ntlive.com. We'll tell you where it might be playing in your area.
Wow.
But wholeheartedly recommend it. It was phenomenal.
That's
phenomenal.
Great.
And who was sitting in front of us in the movie? Michael C. Hall.
Oh. Ooh.
TV's Dexter.
So, yeah. So anyway, I just had to nerd out for a second about Danny Boyle's Frankenstein because it was fucking awesome.
Wow. Benedict Cumberbatch. What?
No, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch.
Yes.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
I feel like he's a guy that America would misuse, like Steve Coogan. Like you take someone who's incredibly talented and they're like, they'd make Benedict Cumberbatch. They'd probably just make him like a villain in a Die Hard sequel or something.
Exactly.
But America, you're not fucking Steve, phenomenal.
America's not Steve Coogan it right.
You're not Steve Coogan it right or Cumberbatching properly.
Cumberbatch. Benedict Cumberbatch.
Benedict Cumberbatch. I'm telling you, that guy,
wow.
Keep an eye on that guy. I'm sure he's already huge in England, but one of the best actors I've ever seen in my life.
That's a name on par with Engelbert Humperdinck.
Except Engelbert Humperdinck was a made-up name. Cumberbatch, I think, is his actual name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he is a professor of defense against dark arts. I'll just keep coming up with other Hogwarts titles.
I finished out the Tennant era Doctor Who.
You did?
Yes.
You watched the last episode?
I watched the two-parter End of Time. I was just talking to Matt with it about it. I am not doing too good.
It leaves a residue with you.
Oh my God, I am bummed. I teared up. I had a bad dream that night. I've been kind of like just not handling it well. It was so incredibly sad.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously not a spoiler alert because everyone knows that Matt Smith is a doctor now. So if you haven't seen it yet, you know that Tennant has to go away. But
yeah.
It's just his resistance to it is so hard to watch.
Yeah.
Hard to watch.
It's the old man.
I know. Oh yeah. With the master.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That was what I did this weekend. And
that one, I was like, I woke up the next morning sad.
Yeah.
Like what happened? Oh, right. Like that's how much it affected me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm still dealing with it. And now I start season 5.
But Matt Smith, great. New series coming up April 23rd.
Watch the first episode of Torchwood.
Yeah.
Duh, that's. I'm sorry.
Not as much a fan, huh?
Not feeling it. I know it's a pilot.
I've not watched all.
Hey,
I've not watched all of Torchwood.
July 8th, Torchwood. Mission, whatever the hell it is.
Okay.
Miracle Day, is
Miracle
that what it's called?
Day.
But it's going to give me a whole new... Like, yeah. I have so much stuff backed up that I have to watch now. I have all of Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
You can do that in one sitting.
On my iPad. Yeah, it's like 2.5 hours total.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just like Nathan Barley. You just there's just 6 episodes and they're all like...
Ah, Nathan Barley.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Registered his domain in the Cook County. I mean, in the Cook Islands.
Trashbat.cock, registered in the Cook Islands.
co.ck.
Yeah, keep it foolish.
Yeah, is Nathan Barley available anywhere?
Not on American DVD, but on
Region 2, you win again.
Yeah, but just those players, those like cheapy DVD players, you can buy for about $30, and then you just kind of press a code in, and you can just go online, and it teaches you how. Sometimes when you order it, people know why you're ordering them, and it will come with a sheet of paper that says just do 229922.
Oi, Region 1.
But yeah. It's good. But like they're trickling out. They're trickling out. You know, you can get Look Around You on American
look
DVD now.
Look Around You.
So good.
Look Max. Around You.
Look Around.
We got to get that Peter Serafinowicz on here. He's a good chap.
Does he live out here? Is he good?
No, I don't think he lives out here, but he was out here for that Look Around You panel that they did at UCB, which was phenomenal.
Yeah, I didn't go. I meant to.
Damn it.
Yeah, Paul is great.
You love the movie Paul?
I love the movie
I read
Paul.
The script last year. I thought it was great cuz I mean, people don't just send me scripts to read. I moderated the Paul panel.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a movie to show me, so they were like, here's the script. And it was great.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I liked it a lot, too. I think they're 3 for 3. Good for those
guys.
Yeah,
I think so. It's, there was stuff that was missing because of Edgar Wright being gone, but there was stuff that was added because of Greg Mottola being there.
Yeah.
I think Greg Mottola did a really good job of creating a cool fun natural road comedy between two friends.
P.S. We got a little bit of shit for tipping Doug Benson's hand that he had Simon Pegg on his Doug Loves Movies at South By.
Did we?
Yeah, a couple people were like, and you know, the thing that really kind of got under my skin about it was that people were on Twitter and they're like, hey, Doug, Nerdist totally gave away your guests. I'm like, what do you gain by tattling like a bitch?
Oh, it was because it would be... When we just got off, when we did the last Hostful.
Yeah, but he'd already, but I think he'd already, Thursday night.
I'm sure people tweeted about it.
Doug had already, Doug, you know what, and I texted Doug and I was like, I'm so sorry, we talked about it, we got so excited, I didn't know, and he wrote back and he was like, no, I already posted the show, it's fine. Like,
yeah.
those people are just being weirdos that they didn't actually get the moment of Doug introducing.
Oh.
The guest, so sorry for that. I'm so sorry.
Or reading it in their
iTunes.
I don't know why,
like, people, like, I saw, like, 4 or 5 people tweeted that Doug Benson. I'm like, you fucking tattletale bitch. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's kind of a lame move, dude.
It is a little, because it didn't say, it was nothing constructive. I was like, hey, Doug, Nerdist totally just gave away your guess.
Yeah.
Like, are you trying to get us in trouble?
You know what they're doing, though. They're like, ha, we're all friends. Hey, my friend Doug, my friend Chris, spoiled shit.
Oh, okay. That's a much nicer way to look at it.
Makes them feel like they're a part of something. You're not.
I always feel like everyone's out to get me. That's healthy, right?
Yeah.
You're laughing. Are you with him?
That's perfectly normal.
Are you with me or again me?
Again me.
Jonah Ray, you've started back on Web Soup now. We are in full swing. Our first episode of the season is premiering next Wednesday, March 30th.
It doesn't feel like there's still too much to do. There's so much to do.
I know we've been shooting shit all week. I shot an opening with you guys.
Yeah, we did the opening. It's looking good.
Is it looking okay?
Yeah. And then me and Wade spent all day yesterday shooting stuff for our April Fool's episode, which is going to be a
new
lot of
ad.
Fun.
What's Wade's last name? Randolph.
Wade Randolph.
Wade Randolph. Yeah. New edition. Wade Randolph.
Yeah. He's a guy from Channel 101. He's already done a great video of Up Top Hand going on vacation.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he's fit in quite well and got the just immediately got the tone of the show.
Excellent.
Yeah, and it's we're shooting a bunch of stuff tomorrow, a bunch of stuff on Friday. And Monday.
Things are just shooting all the way up until.
That's
okay. You know, I've not had a day off in over a month.
Yeah.
I just realized that I came back from, like, it went South by South. I mean, like, I went to New York a couple times and then worked here and then South by Southwest and then Chicago. And roundabout Chicago, I started getting shaky and twitchy. Like, I don't feel good.
Well,
changing altitude will do that too.
You lost your wallet too.
I got my wallet back.
You did?
Wait, you didn't know that?
How did that happen?
Okay. So I've been, just because I've been so. And first of all, let me just say, I brought all the busyness on myself.
Mm-hmm.
I wholeheartedly accept the responsibility that I fill every minute.
It's just called too many things.
It's called too many things.
Something like
a concept that I lay out in the Nerdist way, now available on Amazon for pre-order. So I started to get like shaky and forgetful, and I got off the plane in Chicago, went to the old Starbucks to pound a little chai latte to get some sugar and caffeine. And my body...
Wow, you were really taking us through the steps like Rebecca Black.
Sugar. What?
It was fun, fun, fun.
fun.
Friday.
That poor little girl. And you know, the worst part is that company that makes all those videos where they basically like, hey, we'll slut up your daughter for whatever much money.
Yeah.
It's so gross. I mean, like, no, but these girls are like 9 to 13. It's not right, Matthew.
Oh, yeah. No.
It is not right.
They're how old?
9 to 13.
Ooh.
Rebecca Black is 13 years old.
You're regretting former boners.
That was the name of my Buzzcocks album.
I regret nothing.
Regretting former boners.
But, so you at Starbucks pounding a chai latte.
Oh, yeah. So I need to go back 2 levels. Yeah, I was talking about the Rebecca Black thing.
Yep.
By the way, I do think it's bad. That's bad. Like the negative publicity, like the ironic publicity is bad for that poor little girl.
Yeah.
Like it's not good.
But I don't imagine.
It's bad for that company where all those people are going to be rushing to.
Bad for that company? It's awesome for
that company.
No,
it's good for them. It's bad for humanity because all these people now are going to be rushing to get their daughters to have videos.
It's ironic for us. I'm pretty sure the younger crowd loves that song.
I hope they do. I hope some people are appreciating that horrible song on a regular level because.
Yeah.
It's not good for a 13-year-old girl to get ironic success because then, you know, it's like she's 13 years old. She doesn't understand that people are just going to make fun of her and be shitty to her.
Yeah.
And that is devastating to a 13-year-old.
What
so
is all I thought about when I was 13?
What is she doing hanging around with boys who can drive?
I don't know. I did when I was 13. I had like a couple of 16-year-old friends.
And then you would go to parties at 13?
No, no. My mom wouldn't allow that.
Was the seating arrangement always a big issue for you too?
It was man boy, man boy.
Oh my God, you guys. I just remembered a bunch of stuff.
You weren't skiing.
Oh, there were poles though. All right. So I get to the hotel and I go to pay the driver and I realize, oh, there's no wallet in my pants where there is usually a wallet lump. And fortunately, I kept the cash in the front of my pocket.
Mm. Remember that.
Smart businessman.
Here's what's fun when you lose your wallet at an airport at Chicago O'Hare. So you call the airport lost and found. There's a recording that says, if you've lost an item at the airport, call the Chicago police. Okay. So then I call the police department near the airport. You got to call the airline. Like, it is just this weird.
So you have to actually, you were already in Starbucks. You have to call the airline you flew in on?
And yes, let them handle it? Yes, because it was in their terminal.
Okay.
Starbucks in the airport is not owned by Starbucks. It's owned by HMS Host.
Oh.
So I track their number down. I call them. They check. No wallet. I call American Airlines. Leave a message. Wallet's gone.
So the Chicago police wouldn't take time out of all the murders?
No. And I was like, guys, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. Don't you know I'm marginally famous?
Have you seen the Chicago code? They're
I think
busy.
That was right around the time those like five like, people got killed on a hot day.
It's like Bill Murray and Groundhog Day. Don't you have a special line for emergencies or celebrities? I'm both. I'm a celebrity in an emergency. So anyway, it was not a big deal. I actually wasn't that upset about it. The most irritating thing was that In California, if you lose your driver's license, you can't just call them or write them. You actually have to go into the DMV, and the next appointment time was weeks away.
How did you get on the plane?
I had Janet FedEx me my passport. Okay. American Express sent me a new card the next day.
Wow.
That's why he's following them on Twitter now.
Yep, that's right.
Very nice.
And then the day before I'm supposed to leave, I get a call from American Airlines, and this woman's like, hi, this is Marie from American Airlines. I was just in the supervisor room and found your wallet in a lockbox, and I saw your name on there and tracked down your Advantage number and got your phone number. That's so she did some sleuthing and tracked me down.
Wow.
And I got it back on the return trip. I lost it at the airport and got it back on the return trip.
That's
through the airport. It's phenomenal.
Wow.
I have to go through and change all of the auto pay on all of the cards that are now canceled.
Oh, that's irritating.
Yeah, it's the worst thing anyone's ever had to go through, you guys.
It's awesome if you don't want to be at that gym anymore.
That's true.
So I got out of, whatever you call it.
And here's what I will say. Tons of tragic things going on in the world, like to an overwhelming point.
Mm. Yeah.
As the news will remind us nonstop, as I've had to stop watching the news. But I will say, if there's even any slight thing to take away from all the horrible shit that's going on, I was able to kind of go, you know, losing my wallet, not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
My house didn't get washed away. Yet. I just have to stand in line at the DMV is the worst thing that's happened because of this.
Yeah.
So I actually felt weirdly appreciative that my worst problem that day was that I lost my wallet.
I felt bad for you. I really did. I was like, oh, that's the worst.
Well, it's just because I'm in this forget. I also left in the same night. I went and did my first show at Zany's. By the way, all the shows were sold out. Anyway, I don't know how that fucking happened.
Why would you mumble that?
I don't know. Did you guys... You guys don't when you're embarrassed about patting yourself on the back.
I never pat myself on the back.
You can now because you lost a bunch of weight. You can reach your back.
Oh, wow. Retrofitted insult.
That's not an insult. That's a future compliment.
A future compliment. So it's not a compliment now. It's in this weird in between area.
I guess it is. My point was you look
wibbly
great.
Wobbly.
You do look good, though.
I feel
you've lost a tremendous amount of weight.
Yeah, feel good about
what
it.
What do you have to
demeanor,
now?
Your demeanor is a lot better. Have you noticed that? Like he doesn't get so downtrodden as he used to.
he's pretty upbeat lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
He's pretty upbeat lately.
That's great.
Funny. I've started to just weigh myself on the day before cheat day.
Yeah.
So I'm down. I've gone past 1 pound below the lowest I can remember in my adult life.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's huge.
Wow.
I mean, not as huge anymore.
Shit.
Oh. That's great.
That came out
but
wrong.
Not like
Guys, I weigh myself on Saturday, which is the day after Friday, but then Sunday comes and oh boy.
Yeah, but the cheat day is supposed to like kick your metabolism into overdrive.
Awesome.
Yeah.
The cheat day, it's Christmas every week.
And that's
it's
what's
Christmas.
Great about it is that you appreciate the shitty food that you normally took for granted.
I do. I so much. So much. We have a meeting at work at 7:30 in the morning on Sunday. Normally, I would be angry, but there will be free donuts.
And you can eat them.
All of them.
The Division of Ironic Punishment.
So you like donuts, do you? Now you can eat all the donuts in the world.
I'm still okay with that. Oh, also, if anybody out there is looking for a money-making opportunity in the Los Angeles area, please franchise a Dunkin' Donuts.
It's weird. There's not any.
It's like Springsteen. It's an East Coast thing.
There's one in Hawaii.
There's Dunkin' Donuts in Hawaii?
Actually, it's funny. My mom worked at one when she was in high school, and then that one closed down, and there wasn't any for like 20 years. And then it opened up in Pearl City, and all my friends, and we all drove out for it. We drove all the way out to, like, you know, it was like a 45-minute drive, which is long in Hawaii.
You know,
when I first moved here, I drove to Phoenix for Dunkin' Donuts.
Los Angeles is a weird place for franchises. No Dunkin' Donuts, no Chick-fil-A,
Here's the deal, though. There's Baskin-Robbins all over the place, so the supply chain exists because Dunkin' Donuts owns Baskin-Robbins. So
who
someone,
owns that? Is that a Pepsi company, too?
It is 2011. They must have tested it at some point and found that it wouldn't be a viable...
Seriously, if you put one in or near Larchmont, I will be there every day and give you at least $180 a month.
There's the Chick-fil-A opening up in Hollywood.
Hello, my name is Keith Duncan. I own Dunkin' Donuts, I listen to the Nerdist podcast.
Thank
Matthew,
you, Mr. Duncan.
We're going to open a Dunkin' Donuts in your tummy Sundays. It's the opposite of Chick-fil-A.
Thank you. It's the opposite of Chick-fil-A.
Well, they close on Sundays.
They're going to interspace it into you.
And the Lord said no fried chicken or waffle fries on Sundays. Well, Leviticus 4:9.
What's funny is that,
waffle
and
chickens. That's it.
Black Dynamite panel, April 3rd.
In and out.
April 4th.
Fourth.
Black Dynamite panel,
fourth,
April 4th.
Fourth.
You guys done plugging? It's already going to be sold out. In and out has scripture stuff on their cups.
Yep.
Okay. And on their burger wrappers.
Thought those were just codes for ordering more wrappers.
Not on the French fry container.
Oh, makes you think.
Makes you think. Maybe
devil fingers.
Fried stuff is what's for the devil.
Oh. Mm. These have been touched by the finger of Satan.
Or it could be that those fries are
terrible.
And that's
why they're delicious.
I don't like those.
You can get an extra fresh In-N-Out fries.
I don't like In-N-Out that much.
That's a fucking heresy.
Because it's so good.
I just want a fucking croissant which
can I just tell you, when I used to get
Dunkin'
drunk
Donuts.
In Westwood, mm-hmm. when I went to UCLA, mm-hmm. and then years later when I moved back when I was too old to hang out there, but did anyway because I was drunk and I didn't know any better.
We drank there,
yeah.
And I don't think I was old enough to drink.
What? No, don't know. What are you? That's like crazy. It's crazy talking. No, you got so drunk. You forgot he was 21.
You didn't buy me.
Guys, I work for the LAPD. I've been waiting for this moment.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
This whole podcast has been a sting for that underage drinking.
There was a little burger hut that had been in Westwood since the early Precambrian era called Tommy's. There are Tommy's all over the place.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, a beanie chili burger... Ugh. With fries, super salty at like 3 o'clock in the morning after drinking all night used to be so good. And also why I was 35, 40 pounds heavier.
It is pretty perfect.
Yeah, they were pretty great.
Yeah.
You don't drink, do you, much, Matthew?
No, not much.
Yeah.
I had 2 beers in Austin. That was, you know, it was all right.
Yeah.
But I especially don't drink because it's on the diet. You really can't.
No.
So. Yeah, it's tricky. Tricky on the diet.
Yeah.
I mean, drinking's fun if you can do it properly, but it really does not do anything good for you.
Yeah, I can do it properly, and I'm proud of that. I will occasionally drink beyond the legal limits, but...
I love hardcore drinkers who use that Italian wine argument. They're like, Italians have the healthiest hearts in the world, and they drink a glass or two of wine every night with dinner. Like, and they stop there.
Yeah, they stop there, yeah.
They don't do Sambuca shots afterwards.
That's funny.
It's not healthy for their hearts.
Yeah, but like when I went up to training in Cupertino, or another place where another corporation might have their home.
Cooperstown.
Cooperstown, New York. You know, where baseball's from.
Yep.
I would go out drinking every single night there, and we would spend $140 a night on booze, just two of us.
Jesus!
Yeah. And that was 2 weeks of that. And, yeah, I don't really drink anymore.
That's all right. You look good. I got to tell you.
Thank you.
You look good, Maddie. You're looking good. How's your stand-up coming? Huh? Things good? You writing jokes?
No. No, I haven't written anything in like a week.
Well, you better gear up for the open mic that starts in May at Meltdown.
You will blind yourself.
It's May now? I thought it was April.
No, it's been May.
It's got to be May because the 826 LA is doing their writer's panel Sunday nights through the end of April. And then friggin' Matt Myra.
I've got to talk logistics as far as what nights we're going to do a podcast if I have to have Sunday nights off.
Well, Sunday nights, though, we can always do it earlier. I mean, We never do podcasts at like 8 o'clock at night.
That's true.
We can still do hostful podcasts during the day. You run your show at 7:30, 7:45 at night. Paul Sebas texted me, a phenomenal comic who was in the
email you back,
Comedians
Paul,
You Should Know.
And I will.
He offered to help run it with you.
Yeah.
And you should take that because he's a fucking great comic. Yeah, and you can learn a lot from him.
I have to email you back, Paul. I will.
All right. And just you in the city somewhere, you'll hear, okay, Matt.
Yeah.
Like from the podcast.
Paul Sebas, the gay porn comic.
What?
Yeah, so one of his bits where it's just like he always gets gay porn flyers like stuck into his
car. And they get stuck in the door. He
puts them in the door, then he knows it's just going to explode.
Oh, yeah. I think that was on the Comics You Should Know special or whatever we called it.
But he didn't tag it with that thing I like. He's all, now as he talks about leaving the stage and then like how he's going to be known as Paul Sebas, the gay porn comic.
And now he shall be.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you know, that's a lie. I have written this week, so that's a lie.
Oh, you did?
I did, yeah.
You ever want to workshop any jokes on the podcast?
No,
you know?
I don't.
Okay.
You know, I was actually, I was looking for a video that I did a while back to send to a friend of mine because he was asking about it. And then I came across some clips of my stand-up that I like never really noticed online before.
Yeah.
And I watched it and I was like, holy shit, I completely forgot about the jokes that I was doing.
Isn't that funny how you just totally forget chunks?
They just went away.
Hey, you just got 10 more minutes.
Yes, 10 more minutes.
Like when I was doing Zany's, I hadn't done an hour since February. And well, it's,
you know, it's March now.
Well, I know, but I'm telling you, even just taking a few weeks off from doing a full hour, you forget stuff, even though it's stuff that you've done before, just because, you know, it's everything's so, it's just a big chunk.
Yeah.
It's just a giant chunk. But I have to say, Chicago shows were super fucking awesome. So much fun. So many great nerds came out to the shows. I met so many awesome people after the shows.
Did anybody come dressed up?
No one came dressed up. I hope for the April 9th show at the Wilbur, people come in costume. Because I always come out afterwards and talk and take pictures of people.
You know, maybe it's easier if it's a spot date, you know?
You're right.
Because, like, if what if a guy shows up dressed up?
And second then, show Saturday, and he's the only guy, versus Batman, and there's a bunch of trucks.
That's what happened.
And then he walks out, and then the line to get into the next show, everyone's dressed up. He's like, my opportunity.
I missed it again.
Yeah.
I'll buy a ticket for the second.
I'm really looking forward to Ed Salazar's nerd speed dating show at Meltdown.
Yeah.
I just want to see what kind of weirdos are going to show up for
that. I'm going to go just to watch.
I'm just going to go to watch it. Yeah.
When is that?
It is March 29th.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. And Eli Braden is going to be like singing songs for all the.
That's going to be great. Awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be really funny, I think. And it's also like, you know, like Ed, who no one believes is a nerd. No one believes Ed is a nerd.
Well, he's so cut.
He's so cut. And he's like, there's just this good looking Latino man. And he just like is a complete nerd though.
Ed
like,
Salazar,
exactly, like the nasal thing.
Ah, Salazar, he's very funny. You want to take a couple
Quemits?
It's a question.
What?
It's a comment. Hey, it's a question. It's a comment. It's a Quemit.
Huh?
Why? It's a question.
And
it's a comment.
What?
It's a question. It's a comment. It's a Quemit. Now I love how you went from Elvis to Jerry Lewis.
It's a whole bunch of people. This is like the new travel Wilburys.
Elvis and Jerry Lewis are the new travel Wilburys.
It's a comment. It's
a waiting.
No, I was doing.
Jerry
doing,
Lee Lewis?
No. I was doing Fred Schneider and Jello Biafra. I was doing a mashup of Jello Biafra and Fred Schneider.
Never before done.
Yeah.
Traveling Wilburys.
This is from Ben Soref.
Soref.
I don't know if I said his name properly, but he knows who he is.
Soref.
All right. Hey, guys. Full disclosure, my awesome wife, Heather, turned me on to the Nerdist shortly after your debut, and I've been listening ever since.
Hey, Heather, what's up?
She's a keeper. I just have one small problem. I listen in the car with our 2-year-old, Wesley. Bad idea. And the other day, I had to try and get him to stop saying fuck. I had mixed results. I don't believe in clean or censored versions, but are we possible that you have one future podcast kid-friendly? Well, I don't know. He just said he didn't believe in cleaner censored versions and just asked us to do a cleaner censored version. I totally understand. I'm sure there are a lot of nerds with kids out there. I just, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's not like we're saying cunt all the time.
And to that, I say, fuck. Shit. Yeah. Fuck. Shitty cunt. Fucker fuck.
Well, that's that. Hopefully that's too many syllables for his two-year-old, too.
Did your child just say shitty cunt?
When I'm with the Lennons and they have the young son, Oliver, and whenever I swear, I try not to swear around him because Tom's trying to, like, curb that.
Yeah.
Like, every time I swear, Tom goes, hey, calm down, Lowell.
Yes. Recently, Maddie Kirsch on Facebook like posted he's like, hey, I found this old CB4 poster. And then I just commented on it saying, straight out of low cash, crazy motherfucking named Gusto. Yeah. And then some random lady like posted a comment after my comment on Facebook saying, why don't you watch the language?
Oh.
Yeah.
Ironically?
And then I was just like, it's just saying a line from a movie, a rated R movie that Matt just posted about. Matt, the guy you follow with the rated R movie, and I just saying a line from it.
Did you write that to her?
Yes.
And what'd she say?
Nothing back.
Oh, you shut her down.
Slam! I was almost going to go, just go, because I could. I know all the lyrics to Straight Outta Low Cash by CB4.
You also could have copied and pasted them from the internet.
No, but I don't need to. Straight out of low cash, crazy motherfucker named Gusto, fucked your mom because the bitch was a big hoe, fucked your sister, fucked your cat. But I would have fucked your mom, but the bitch was too fat. When I'm in your neighborhood, you better dig a moat.
Dirtiest podcast ever.
Your motherfucking throat, blood's dripping, I ain't sleeping, bitch's panties is what I'm ripping. Rolling faster than a motherfucking dirt bike, never met a piece of pussy that I didn't like to eat it, like to suck it, take the shit in a bucket, straight out of low cash.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, Matt. You tested him, and Jonah has prevailed.
Well,
he knows all the lyrics from Straight Outta Low Cash.
Well, that's just the first verse.
That's another question.
So, yeah, I mean, listen, Ben, I certainly appreciate the sentiment to want to protect your children.
I'm sure we've accidentally.
How about we do a clean one when, like, we'll get DJ Lance Rock from Yo Gabba Gabba.
The only thing that I'm concerned, well, the Muppets one is totally clean. You can listen to the Muppets one. There's no swearing in the Muppets one.
Very true.
But I don't want to have to worry about, like, oh, we can't say that or we shouldn't say this. Like, then, because this isn't a TV show, it's a podcast. And, you know, so.
We'll worry about that later.
I mean, yes, you're right. We probably do swear more than we should. It's just kind of how we communicate in life.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, so. But I can't promise that we could do a totally.
I started swearing a lot more when I moved out here. Did you find that too?
No, I just love swearing.
We didn't
so much.
Monitor your swearing habits before you moved out here.
Yeah. No, Chris, that's not what I meant.
It's a question.
My God.
And more comments. And more questions. And more comments. More comments. It's a question.
This is kind of a fun story. So this guy emailed me and said his name is Kevin Funnel. He had been meaning to write
love
for a little
cake.
While.
I love your cake.
Yep, good cakes, good cakes.
Sunday.
He's a fan of the show, and he's writing to point out some interactions that he had with tweaked audio. So basically, he got the headphones. They broke after a couple weeks, right? I was not pleased, he said. I got a little nerd rage and let them know what I thought. I may have been a bit dickish to them, and I feel kind of bad. Well,
you should feel bad.
Bruce and their sales department apologized and sent me a new pair right away. He also commented and seemed to really care about my suggestions on improving their headphones for heavy users like myself. Real cool guy. When I got my replacement headphones, there was a little slip in there asking if I hadn't already sent my broken headphones back. To please do so. I grabbed an envelope I had nearby, put the broken headphones in, and sent it. Today I got an email from Peggy at Tweaked. I guess I put $25 in with the headphones. I then realized that I sent my petty cash envelope from the honey and lip balms that I sell. I'm a hobbyist beekeeper.
What?
This is getting awesome.
To the Beemobile. You mean your Buick? Yes.
I'm a hobbyist.
It took me 9 months to make $25 from the bee scrapings.
Well, if he's a hobbyist beekeeper, you should know there's no such thing as a hobbyist beekeeper.
Anyway, he was using that envelope to make change and buy random supplies. They didn't have to tell me about this. I didn't even know it was missing. Peggy said that she could send it to me right away via PayPal or just put the bills back in the mail. I figured since it was kind of a funny, dumb mistake, I obviously wasn't missing it. I asked if they could just give it to the Japan Relief. A few minutes later, I got an email back saying that they did, and they matched it.
Whoa.
So,
wow.
Good folks at Tweaked Audio.
Holy shit.
I know, they also just sent us a bunch of these
some ass.
Tweaked-timed squishy watches, which I think I might actually wear.
Tweaked nice. Time.
Yeah, if you go to tweakedaudio.com/notice, $10 off your earbuds.
Yeah, and they're good. They are good. I got an email from a fella named Andrew Wood. He's from Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay.
He's a big fan of the podcast.
Thanks, man.
And he's in a band called AC Death Strike.
Oh.
And he said if we ever need any music made or anything like that, they're big fans. They'll, you know, make songs. We can send them stuff. And
I would love a song from AC Death Strike.
I checked out their music, myspace.com/AC Death Strike Music. And it's really good.
Is it good?
Yeah, I listened to it a couple times today, and he's a really nice guy, and you know.
Dear Nerdist Podcast, I am sick and tired of you promoting things that do not pertain exactly to my life.
Yeah, no, but if you, it's good stuff. It's cool, like kind of noisy and
AC Death
stuff.
Rock.
Yeah, AC Death Strike.
AC Death Strike.
Yeah, good. It's like
better go on there quick while MySpace is still going on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only reason that I like the, I still check out MySpace for music because it's just, it's easy. It's an easy way for bands to upload music without, you know, being signed or having anything else available.
Someone sent me a link to something that was on MySpace, and I went, and they've changed the user, they've changed the UI on the site, and it actually works a lot better than it used to.
Yeah, yeah,
but yeah. I worry that I don't know if the brand can really rebound.
No, brand will not rebound, but it is a good place for unsigned bands.
Speaking of brands that will not rebound, today I went to Borders.
Yep.
The Borders, as we know, is going bankrupt.
Closing it down is? Their Hollywood, the Sunset Vine location. They're closing.
Yeah. Sunset Vine. The one I was at was in Century City. I walked in there and books are like 60% off, 40% off. And I go into the science section, I grab a bunch of books, and then I pull out my Amazon app and I start scanning the barcodes.
Yeah.
Even with their ridiculous discounts, Amazon still had better prices on one of them.
Which is a fucking,
on all but one of the books.
It's a bummer.
And then I said, that's exactly why you're closing.
Why can't the little guy, Borders, books, and music, why can't the little guy get some, huh?
No,
why can't he get a break?
See, yeah. I go to mom and pop, you know, like used bookstores. Ulysses, there's a great store in North Hollywood, great used bookstore.
The one in Echo Park named Stories. I mean, there's tons.
Stories,
I think, but more
they're
of
fantastic.
Those more of those places are.
Why don't
up.
They mash up with Taco Bell's and do Run for the Borders?
Run
and
the
then board. you buy tacos and books.
I'm at the Borders books. I'm at the Taco Bell. I'm at the combination Borders books and Taco Bell.
Fucking A. That's some life synergy right there, Chris.
That's good stuff.
What book were you reading when you came in? You were reading some weird sort of baseball almanac.
I'm reading the Bill James Gray's historical
baseball.
The new Bill James historical
the time
baseball.
The was not Bill
abstract.
For sports. Winning in sports. What is Whatever. It? The Bill James? Who's Bill James?
Bill James is the guy, essentially the founding father of modern baseball statistics.
Not to be confused with Billy J.
In 1985,
founding father of modern.
I don't know who that is.
In 1985, he wrote this book. He works for the Red Sox right now. He's like their statistical analysis
no
guy.
No wonder you bought it.
There's a stat. I mean, there was just a stat, you know, sort of renaissance that started happening in the mid-90s. It's outlined in the book Moneyball.
Well, I think we all remember the great stat renaissance that took over in the mid-80s.
But, I mean, this book.
I was a kid, but my dad.
Those were good times.
Yeah, they was.
This book is amazing. So, like, for each decade, like the 1870s, he'll list, like, the highest player salary was $2,500 that
year. Yeah, no, I remember because
does each paragraph end with, I'm so lonely?
During the stat renaissance, I remember because that actual stat was that replaced a mural in my town.
Oh, really?
The stats renaissance, yeah.
Now, what is fascinating about baseball stats?
Stats renaissance. What is fascinating about them is that they have the number pool is so wide.
Do they hold keys to the stock market or something?
No, but, I mean, we can draw, like, stats are usually extrapolated from other stats, these new stats.
Okay.
So what's nice about it is I can look back at the entire 150-year run of baseball.
Are they simplified? Is it like the difference between D&D and 4th edition D&D? I don't understand.
I don't know what that means either.
Okay.
Vorp. Like, there's a new stat like called Vorp, which is value over replacement player.
Like Vorpal Sword.
Is that what that is?
Well, no.
Value over replacement player essentially means how much better is this guy over the average guy at that position? That's his value over replacement player.
And
things like that are interesting to me.
What is an average guy's rating? Like, just some fucking mook in a Dunkin' Donuts? They're like, if that guy played shortstop, this other guy is 50 points better than that mook.
The average of all of them, all 30.
Do they do stats of all the poor bastards watching baseball from bars every weekend going, you know what I would do if I was in his place?
What would you do, Jonah?
I fucking hit it over the mountain. I could. College.
Like, for instance, the long ball came about not because it was a home run, but because they had no fences.
What's a long ball?
Never mind.
You don't want to know.
That's what happens when you get old.
There's
it's a question. It's a comment. It's a
wow. The great stat renaissance of 84.
You know, guys, there's a conference at MIT every year about
statistics. We don't want to know about baseball stats anymore.
It's not just baseball. There's a stat renaissance happening all over the place, even in basketball, guys. Come on.
Oh, really?
Get on board.
All right, I'm currently on board.
What's happening on board? Sticking up this train.
I'm getting out of here.
I just don't need you.
Just want to make a note to all the listeners. That was Chris making fun of Matt, not me.
Yeah, but I do it playfully. Matt knows, Matt knows I love him.
But I do it playfully.
Matt knows I love him.
So funny. Yeah. I did get mad last time.
You did?
His feelings were a little hurt. I could tell.
On the podcast.
But let's not rehash it. There's no point in getting re-pissed about things.
It's okay.
What? Are you mad?
No, I'm just, it's weird that you got mad.
Hey guys, remember the great stat renaissance?
Oh my god.
That'll pull you out of any anger spiral.
Somebody out there knows exactly what I'm talking about.
And guys,
appreciate it.
I would like to take a comment from deep inside Nerdist Industries. This is from Kyle Anderson, Canderson as I call him, who writes all the Doctor Who. He writes all those insane Doctor Who posts, mm-hmm. like here's which episodes from each season, like going I mean each series, even going back to the original Doctor Who's. So the subject is the subject of the email was, does Nerdist get people laid? And then he goes on to tell this whole story about, I was listening to this new podcast this morning when you said that Nerdist does not get people laid. So I just want to tell you that you're wrong. I write for Nerdist. I decided to join Twitter. Because he writes for Nerdist, I talked him into joining Twitter. And this girl named Emily started following him and discovered that she was friends with friends of his. Found out they were both going to be at Gallifrey One last month. They met and hung out. And a month later, it's his girlfriend.
He's
totally in love with her.
Does she know?
No, but that's not important. Okay. She'll find out.
I think that's a big part of it.
No,
Kyle.
But the point is, he met his girlfriend through weird Nerdist stuff. He met this girl, and she's now his girlfriend, and he's never been happier in his life.
Well, that's amazing.
Yes, and he says she's gorgeous and wonderful, and they love the same things, and they, you know. Yeah, so well done, Canderson. Well done.
Yeah,
well,
good job.
I mean, we didn't need the podcast to get girlfriends.
You guys brought girlfriends coming in, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Almost.
No, because on the first date with Deanna, I said, hey, you know, this Sunday I'm going to be starting a podcast.
That's right.
And this isn't going to take up too much of your time, is it? No.
That's true.
No, but we're going to have to use some of your vacation days.
No.
I
started dating Greta. Was like right after we got back from New York. So that was like, you know, four episodes in.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what we got.
Yeah, that was a comment from Canderson. Do you guys have any comments?
I didn't look up. I had the AC Death Strike guy. He was nice.
No, we already talked about him.
Remember that guy? Remember
that? You know, I have to say, everyone seems like they're feeling pretty good today.
I'm in a good mood. I had a chai latte.
Yes. No, that'll do it. That'll do it. But if you stop having them, the withdrawal.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the withdrawal.
Let's see if we got anything good. Full of noodle stories.
Uh-oh, no. But very polarizing.
It is.
Very polarizing.
Great podcast. You'll love it.
Great podcast. You'll love it. You're reading reviews.
Then. I got to say.
I'm reading reviews.
More people are supporting noodle stories than against noodle stories.
They don't know what they're supporting.
But the people who hate it really hate it.
This is it's a weird social
polarizing.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. It's like it's the essence of the internet, getting mad or excited about something that's not tangible or real.
Here's a great one. Robert Schofield, hostful Quement. Hey Nerdist guys, just want to say you've changed my life. I'm 14. And I first heard you on the Joel McHale episode.
He got laid from the podcast.
People can be 14? That young?
Yes, they can. That happens.
I don't like that, Chris.
It's Friday. She's 13.
Fun. I first heard you on the Joel McHale episode and I've listened to everyone since. I first heard, I was just seeing what a podcast was and now I listen a lot. And y'all, I'm from the South too, introduced me to Doug Benson and a lot of stand-up comics and also. So I think I'm going to go do, I think I'm going to do... this summer, wait, what? I think what he's saying is he's going to try stand-up for the first time.
He's going to go take some English writing.
Also, Jonah, that is awesome. This 14-year-old kid wants to try stand-up now, and he also has a question for Jonah Ray. Do live zombies float? Do live zombies float? Okay, Jonah Ray being the resident zombie expert?
Well, okay,
like,
well,
if here, I was on a boat, could they float to me?
No, they can't. Here's the thing. And there, by live zombie, you just mean an undead
zombie. An animated zombie.
An animated zombie. Okay. No, they will float for a little bit, but their lungs will just fill with water and they will sink to the bottom.
Yeah, because they don't create that bladder like that. Yeah. They can't create the air pocket inside.
They will sink because they will immediately fill with water. And that's the thing. That's the thing you got to be careful of too. When you're in bodies of water, if they're on the bottom of a body of water and they can reach you, they'll pull you down.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So make sure you're floating over a deep body of water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that you know that.
So Jonah, could I kill a zombie with hot lead?
Hot lead.
Like if I dumped hot lead on a zombie, would that kill a zombie?
If it destroyed the brain, yes.
Okay.
Not if it just gets all over their, body.
What are some common misconceptions about killing zombies?
Well, it's pretty simple, really. It's just you just destroy the brain. I mean, you could cut off the head, and the head will still try to bite you. You got to destroy the brain. That's where it comes from.
Okay.
Yeah. It's you could but it just depends which lore you're going for.
I love how seriously you said the head will still try to bite you.
It will. But, you know, like I said before, I'm a...
shit you got to worry about.
I'm a Romero New Brooksian zombie guy.
Yeah.
Meaning, George Romero...
Max Brooks.
Started the perfect type of lore.
Yep.
And Max Brooks, through the book...
Refined it.
Yeah, he basically perfected it, I think. Mm. Yeah, so...
Much it's like Bill James in baseball statistics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Remember the great zombie renaissance of 80?
All right, guys. Fuck you. Yeah.
Can I also just say that while I was in Chicago, I went to C2E2, which was an awesome con, the Chicago Comic and Entertainment
Expo.
Are
you doing WonderCon this weekend?
Yes, I am going to do WonderCon this week. And no, it's April 3rd.
April 3rd. We're not having a tweet up.
We're not having a tweet up.
We're not tweeting up at Super.
That's the thing. I can't because it wasn't finalized yet. But here's the thing. It looks like we are going to be doing a podcast with James Gunn at Meltdown April 3rd that night. So I'll be coming back that day.
Where is this? Where's WonderCon?
It's in San Francisco.
Wow,
man. It's only an hour away.
Yeah, you're crazy.
Via the plane. I know, it's a little busy. But I think what's going to happen is I think I'm going to do a signing at WonderCon on Saturday at like 3:30 somewhere in the building, and then I'm doing this this Doctor Who panel at WonderCon, which is it's just sort of a panel about Doctor Who.
That's great. When you do signings, you should have pictures of Matt and I on either side of you.
You should. Looking at me. One of you should dress like an angel, and one of you should dress like a little devil.
I'll be the angel.
That's the obvious choice.
So here's who's going to be on this panel with me chatting about Doctor Who. Toby Haynes, who is a director from Doctor Who and Being Human. Mark Shepard, okay. Supernatural, Battlestar Galactica. And Neil Gaiman.
Ooh,
very excited about that.
Neil himself.
Yeah, so that's gonna be pretty exciting too. And then I'll hop on a plane. I'll get back here. We'll do the James Gunn podcast on April 3rd, which people you can attend. So if you come to James Gunn, admission is free if you bring a ticket stub from the movie Super.
Because I might be working
Sunday night.
Yeah, what time is that at?
Well, I don't know. I guess it would be like 8-ish.
If it's
yeah,
should I go? Should I do a tweet up? Will people even care if you're not there?
Of course they will.
We'll do it in your stead.
Okay.
We'll see how few people show up.
Is it going to be at the ArcLight?
I think it's wherever you guys want to go.
Maybe we can make it to the Grove.
I'd like the ArcLight.
You want to do it at the ArcLight?
I'd rather.
All right.
I used to work there, and it's my favorite theater.
Former employment.
Former employer.
They do good stuff there at the ArcLight.
They do. They're owners, though.
Did you have to come out and make the announcements?
Yeah. I didn't want to do that. They kept on egging me on to do it because I was like kind of just always joking around.
The ArcLight Theater in LA is a place where you reserve a specific seat when you buy a ticket.
Yeah, you can buy them online, pick your seat from home.
They're a little more expensive, but they don't show commercials before the movies. They just show trailers.
Yep.
They have like a restaurant there. There's tons of parking, and then someone will come out. This is not advertisement for an ArcLight. I don't give a shit if you go there or not.
Yeah.
But then an usher comes out and welcomes you to the theater.
Yeah, it's hey everyone, thanks for coming to Super by James Gunn.
I think I'm definitely working because I had to get the 4th off for the
Black Dynamite panel.
Well, maybe it'll just be me. I'll decide.
But the ArcLight has the Cinerama Dome in it.
Yeah, they bought the Cinerama Dome.
which many years ago I went and saw the Back to the Future trilogy at the Cinerama Dome for the premiere of Back to the Future 3.
Oh, wow.
And that's what was so exciting. They screened it like you had to stand in line all day. So I blew off class, stood in line all day. You watch Back to the Future 1, Back to the Future 2, and then they premiered Back to the Future 3 before anyone else could see it.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was
That might have been the greatest day of your life.
It was a gorgeous day.
That's great.
Except that I had to sit through Back to the Future 2.
But it's a good theater.
Whoa, it's a great theater. What did you just say?
Back to the Future 2 was not good.
What are you talking about? Back to the Future 2 is awesome.
No.
It's not really. There's so much back exposition.
There's so much exposition in Back to the Future 2.
There's so much
I thoroughly enjoy.
I was irritated by that. Like all those videos that are like, here's how Biff Tannen's got to be the wealthy Biff Tannen.
Yeah, I thought they had a lot of fun with
Discover.
Back to the Future
2. Crispin Glover. That was a bummer for me.
Well, I threw my back out on the golf course.
I'm upside down.
Golf course.
Now, Back to the Future 3, I quite enjoyed. I just thought Back to the Future. I didn't hate Back to the Future 2.
That's confusing.
I didn't hate Back to the Future 2, but you have to understand, Back to the Future 1 was one of those movies that broadened the scope of what movies can be in my brain. That Back to the Future 2, much like Ghostbusters 2, was a little bit of a letdown for me.
I liked it.
I wasn't a huge
crazy. I thought it was fun. It was a fun romp.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was just that whole, you know, Doc Brown committed. Doc Brown commended.
Well, that's obvious.
What a weird coincidence. They ran two Doc Brown stories that day.
It was a slow news day.
All right, now I shouldn't be breaking down the time and the inconsistencies of Back to the Future 2. Back to the Future 2, fine movie. I just didn't love it as much as the first one.
You know, speaking of that, those guys are still asking us to come in and make that song.
Make the Goldie Wilson.
The Back to the Future 2 musical. Or the Back to the Future musical, yeah.
Yeah. I'll totally do that.
Yeah, I think we just got to...
Someday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
From the point of view... Then we got to pin down Donald Glover.
Yeah.
To play Goldie Wilson. How are we going to do that?
I don't know. It's like it would be better. But I just like the idea of just taking all the different perspectives from the entire Hill Valley community.
Totally.
That's a really great idea.
I'm a peeping Tom, and I sing this song when I'm looking at some boobies. Then I fall from a tree and hit on my knee, and then a girl. Sorry.
No, keep going. That was great.
I didn't have anything after that.
Someone's. We have to write a point. We have to write the point of view of the clock.
I'm an old clock tower built in 1885.
Oh, look, it's 10:04.
What happened to me? Save the clock tower.
Yep. And then we can mix in that lady going, save the clock tower.
Yeah.
The lady that looks like Bruce McCullough.
Yes.
She does. It's fucking weird.
One time, this guy had a cat on his head.
I meant Mark McKinney. I didn't mean Bruce McCullough. Oh, okay. It looks like Mark McKinney.
Do your Mark McKinney impression.
Hi, I'm Mark McKinney. I don't have one.
Oh my God.
That's like I became him.
No, do his what is that character's name? Gunther? The long haired guy?
I like Darrell.
Oh, that's who Darrell. Darrell.
Darrell. Darrell, it's Darrell.
I heard the Death series they did on IFC was really funny and
yeah,
I liked
it a lot.
Death comes to town.
You guys hear that Brody Stevens going to have a show on, has a pilot at Comedy Central. HBO.
I think it's Comedy Central.
No,
is it HBO?
It's HBO because Zach has a deal
Zach's
with
producing
him.
Yeah, Zach's producing it. Brody Stevens.
HBO, Zach Galifianakis' personal friend.
We got to have Brody on one of these days. He is a delight.
Yeah, and they can talk baseball. They can talk baseball.
Oh, maybe that's a bad idea.
Yeah, that's a horrible idea.
I don't know if we should do that.
Fuck it.
No more?
What?
Quement?
You want to do one more Quement?
Yeah.
That's a question and a comment and a Quement?
Yeah, we can do that. I mean,
a guy actually recorded a Quement song.
Boom, dum, boom, dum, boom, dum.
Oh, everybody's asking what the diet is I'm on. It is the slow carb diet outlined in Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour
Body. That podcast
will
be posting pretty soon.
Yeah. Pretty soon you'll hear me talking to him before I decided to actually do it.
Can I tell you about C2E2 for a second?
Yeah,
how much fun
ahead.
It was?
Please, yeah.
It was so much fun.
Tell us about the thing. tell us about the thing we missed.
I moderated a panel with Eliza Dushku.
Wow,
and
sounds like
Dushku.
What?
Dushku.
Okay, well, it sounded like she kind of said Dushku.
Well, maybe she's just going with it now.
All right.
Kind of like when someone says, Mr. Rodriguez, I go, fine.
Yeah. And Tom O'Pennykit. Who was the other guy on Dollhouse? He was the guy on Dollhouse.
Yeah.
And they were both awesome. Like the nicest people in the world. And they had tons of great, you never, when you don't really know people that well and you moderate a panel, your fear is always, so how was it working on this show? Great. Yeah. And then nothing else. They had so many, they had so much to say and they were awesome. And I recorded it and I'm going to put it up as a podcast. And they were great. So
when I saw the Mystery Science Theater reunion panel at Comic-Con a few years back,
yeah,
and Patton Oswalt was the moderator.
Yep.
Patton and his charm and talkativeness still couldn't dismantle the awkwardness from the riff track side of the table to the cinematic Titanic side of the table.
Really?
There was just obvious kind of like there was a weirdness in the room. It was really, really odd. It was kind of a bummer.
Oh, and also, both sets of those guys are great.
As of, I think today or maybe last night, Mike Nelson has been answering questions on Reddit. I've been reading those.
I'm going to do one of those too. It's the AMAs, the Ask Me Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, John Crickfalusi did one, and a lot of people have done them. And I just, someone asked me to do it, and I just haven't done it yet because I've been, every minute has been accounted for the last month.
Yeah.
And also on Reddit, they started a First World Problems thread.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I like that Reddit.
Screw you, Dig.
Reddit! All right, now we're at 50-ish minutes.
Oh, God.
I feel like 50-ish is not good
enough. We bleed for these people, Chris. We bleed ourselves dry.
Oh, there's nothing left!
Damn, because my leg hurts.
Oh, your back's still hurting?
Boy. Oh, you...
What?
What's going to happen with your back?
I don't know.
What does the doctor say?
They are still waiting to hear from the... They don't have an MRI yet. Like, the MRI I
now,
took...
Now, hang on. I watch House. The MRIs, they know immediately.
I could have left with the films, but the fucking doctor's office decided to check off CD. So now they had to burn a CD and then send it to the doctor's office.
How
the
efficient.
Doctor's office has not seen it yet.
Oh, technology. You should just give them a flash key. Like, here, throw it on a flash key.
I would have done that had I known, but now I am going to call the MRI place, find out if they have the films, and physically pick them up myself.
God damn it.
I'm so tired of my back hurting.
Yeah, it's got to be appreciated. But you saw the movie Paul, and you didn't get up once.
I did get up once, but that was to get Sprite, because it was Sunday.
Yay.
I got a ton of new followers on Ardeo.
Oh, you
yeah,
do?
Yeah, I've been getting great. Trickling followers in. I believe Ardeo said they are interested in sponsoring us on Twitter.
I think I don't think they've set up the...
Yeah, but they're trying to set that up yet.
We should have them do it. That'd be great. I'd love to have them do it.
Yeah, I would just like a free...
What music are you listening to?
What else? What came out? The Darlings have a new EP out that's really good. Oh. It's in the vein of a lot of the stuff I've been listening to, like Yuck and stuff like that. The new Strokes, I'm not feeling...
Okay.
I'm not feeling surprising. There is a song in there that sounds a lot like video game music, which is great, but yeah. It's just kind of all over the place, and maybe a few more listens and I'll get into it more. The new Green Day live album, not so good.
Okay.
Because it has most of their newer stuff.
Okay.
yeah, I'm trying to think of what else
There's a band that I recently discovered that Janet tipped me off to. We were in a restaurant and it was playing and she was like, oh my God, this band. It's a band called Matt Pond PA.
Oh, Matt Pond PA. Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking awesome. Yeah, yeah. And I know it's a little older, but I just recently discovered them and they are awesome. Matt Pond PA.
That's good stuff. If you like them, also check out Dios, otherwise known as Dios Malos. They had to change their name to Dios Malos because
Dio
was going to sue them.
Yeah.
Even though Dios means God in Spanish.
In Spanish, right.
But I used to go on tour with them back in the day and some of their stuff.
So Dios Malos, bad God?
Yes. Bad right. God. Yeah, the new TV on the radio is...
Bad God! Did you shit creation out all over the floor?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go create an outside so you can go there.
Okay.
Outside! Sorry, that's how it...
Here I come.
Yeah,
those are some good recommendations. Slow.
I got the iRig to hook up your guitar to your iPad.
Yes.
And then I bought the Fender Amplitube app.
Isn't it fucking awesome?
It is fantastic.
They sent me the iRig, and then there's an iClip where you can clip your iPad to a mic stand.
Yep.
And then you go into the Fender app, and the Fender app not only has like a ton of different settings.
I wish
it's like an 8-track recorder.
Yeah, but I wish they had a Twin Reverb Deluxe.
Maybe they
didn't have it. And God, I love it because I'm just like sitting there trying to find this tone for this Stevie Ray Vaughan song, and I'm like, playing around with everything, and I can slide my finger and get a new amp in there.
And they also have there was a mic too that you can get an iRig mic that comes with it too. So it's so fucking incredible. Yeah. Just the interface on it.
Apogee is making one that should be released at the end of this month. It's called Apogee Jam, and it's got a little gain control on it and 30 pin. Boom, right into your iPad and then GarageBand.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
Now, the only thing that worries me about like using my iPad on stage as an amp or a pedal is that if the app crashes, then...
Oh, yeah, sure.
Which is not, you know...
Too uncommon.
I don't know what you're talking about. Those never crash.
No, of course.
Oh, here's a band that... wins. It's the music I've heard of it. It's pretty weird musical, like instrumental stuff. But the name wins for fucking one of the best band names I've heard in a long time. The Dead Kenny G's.
Not only is it a play on Dead Kennedys,
but Kenny G,
who I love.
Yeah, we did a holiday at Embari. Yeah, or comedy at Embari.
We did a parody song of Holiday in Cambodia. Yeah,
the Dead Kenny G's.
Too drunk to fuck. Too drunk to fuck.
Did you ever hear any of the stuff? What are they called? Nouveau Vague.
Yeah,
they have the they do Too Drunk to Fuck.
Oh, they do.
Yeah,
I gotta go listen to that. I get
there. Yeah, it's real.
Somebody on Twitter said they have a bulging disc and that they got an inversion table, and after a week it made them better again.
You know, I gotta tell you, Mike Furman had those inversion boots,
mm-hmm.
where you put the little thing, and then you hang upside down on the boots. Felt a little like you were going to fall on your face.
Yeah. I don't want to break my neck.
No, you shouldn't break your neck.
Yeah.
Right. I shouldn't do that.
But. Yeah. If we've learned anything from the world, it's don't break your neck.
I still got to find a physical therapist because this is still not going.
We should go together.
We should. I do need to look for one. I don't have the time.
My arm, his back. What a couple. What a couple we are.
I held an umbrella when we walked over here. I put up the umbrella and I held it over him and me, and I was like, someone should paint us.
You're a Monet painting.
Yeah.
I was thinking of that painting, whatever that painting is, of those servants holding up the dancing couple, holding up the umbrella.
No, I'll tell you what you guys are. You guys are a poster that every sorority girl buys because they sell it in the bookstore. But it's one of those like late 80s.
Einstein,
it's you in black and white, and then they just color the umbrella like red in the after process. It's romantic. And then there's pigeons flying everywhere in front of you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, one of those. You can get it printed on canvas at Urban Outfitters.
Yep.
In the home section.
That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. Yeah. All right, guys. I think we're good for another hostful podcast.
Yeah, I gotta go. I gotta go to the old Meltdown.
You're going to Meltdown tonight.
Good show
hey,
tonight.
I get an inversion table.
Every Wednesday night is a good show at Meltdown.
Yeah, $100.
I can Mark Maron, Jen Kirkman.
These are the people that will have already been on by the time this goes.
Just so people know.
The Wednesday night Meltdown show is a phenomenal stand-up show.
It's a lot of fun. And we've already been getting the scene backlash, which I've been hearing about from Ed Salazar.
Oh, really? People are like, fuck, this is this beat now.
Yeah, it's like elitist, they don't put us on. And yeah. Just like, I'm like, no one's talked. Every time someone talks to me, I try to put them on.
Yeah. So every Wednesday night, your show, Meltdown. Yeah. Then we have Jimmy Dore's Pop and Politics April 2nd. Then we have...
Don't forget, March 29th at Salazar's Getting Nerds Late, Speed Dating.
That's right. April 3rd, James Gunn. April 4th, Black Dynamite panel. Yes. Then we have Adam Warrock on Nerd Hip Hop April 11th.
And Baron Vaughn is going to be opening up for him.
Oh, good. Okay, great. Yeah.
And then there's...
Rob Schrab's got a book release party later in the month.
Kumail Nanjiani and Steve Agee are performing on.
Yep.
And then there is, which I'm really looking forward to, Brent Weinbach is putting on a dance party. Comedian Brent Weinbach, one of my favorite comedians.
He's great.
Is putting on a dance party where all the music is 8-bit and 16-bit video game music. Now, this isn't the style of like Onomatoguchi where it's like, you know...
He can play it on piano, right?
He can, but this is all actual 8-bit and 16-bit songs from video games of the era that they are finding the danciest of them all and then DJing those for a dance party.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. And
so
all
that stuff is on the calendar if you go to meltcomics.com.
Yeah.
And as we kind of build out the Nerdist site, we'll put up a calendar, but that's all on Meltcomics.
There really should be a Quements thing you can click on.
Well, you can go to nerdist.com/Quements.
That's so hard.
I know. You have to write extra words. I'm worse than Hitler. All right. Well, thank you guys for coming in and recording a hostful podcast.
Someone wants to send me an inversion table.
Look at that.
I'm just looking at
it. If someone wants to send me a bionic arm.
Listen, or just a $200 gift certificate to Amazon.com.
That's how much an inversion table is?
Yeah, one that will hold me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not so bad.
I will buy you an inversion table.
Yay, do it. What about my bionic arm?
Just give me the check for this week. I'll do it.
No, I'm not going to get your bionic arm.
What if?
Because you'll use it for evil. There's no way he can attack anyone with an inversion table.
Well, I can flip up fast.
You'll see, Chris.
Did you say Seacrest?
You'll see, Crest.
Out.
Nerdcrest out. I'm going to be Nerdcrest.
Hey, what is that? What does that copy say? Can you read it to me?
No.
Oh.
I'm not even getting into.
Don't.
We are staying away from
anything.
That topic. They are kind enough to let us use the radio station here at the NBC Universal building, and I'm not going to fuck with anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
No. Thank you.
EYB.
EYB.
Oh, is that where we're just going to... Can we have an EYB shirt or something?
I want to love you.
Burger EYB. Salad.
You love that.
So fucking
fun. Oh, let's thank the kid that's still doing... What's the animation salad. Kid that's been animating our...
Daniel Spellman.
Yeah, Daniel Spellman. Thanks a lot.
Spellman and whoever made Burger Salad. I think his name's Heath?
Heath-splosion. Heath-splosion. On Twitter.
Heath-splosion on Twitter.
Oh, and
God,
fuck,
that's my favorite thing ever.
And I can't remember his name. The guy who did that fucking Black Dynamite poster for us. For just like... He just sent us this amazing...
I'm smaller thing. Now than that drawing of
Yeah,
me.
But you're also, like, you know, being run over by a golf cart. And I look evil or smart or something.
The same. I mean, they're both the same thing. Evil and smart.
Oh, I just got
Eric Benson.
Eric Benson. Eric with a K.
Eric
a
Benson
K.
did the awesome Black Dynamite poster. All right, so that's it. That's the end of the show.
All right, guys, I'm going to pack up my flashlight and my knife.
Now say it at home along with us, everybody.
Enjoy your burrito.
No, guys, Lincoln style.
Oh, enjoy your burrito.
Technically inaccurate, though, because apparently Lincoln had a very high, shrill voice.
Well, ew, really? With that face?
you weren't trying to fuck him. Oh, with that voice? Oh, no, thank you.
Wasn't I?
Oh,
you guys see I made a new President hole in my Lincoln. Look at this belt. I made a new hole in it today, and that's where it used to be.
There's a hole in my belt that can only be filled by you.
I know that probably makes you feel really good, but get a new belt.
Right? I should.
All right,
Matthew, I'm going to get you an inversion table and a new belt.
Yeah, and my bionic arm.
And
he wants a bionic
arm. Jonah, you're not getting a bionic arm. You're just going to choke people with it.
All right, machine gun end. Like RoboCop got in RoboCop 3, you know, the one no one watched?
Enjoy your burrito.
Dick Jones. I work for Dick Jones.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Hey, listeners, it's Will Arnett. Our podcast, Smartless, has crossed a milestone that seemed unfathomable when we started nearly 4 years ago, as we've just released our 200th episode. Join us as we welcome that dynamic duo of hilarity, Steve Martin and Martin Short. You've seen them on screen together in The Three Amigos, Father of the Bride 1 and 2, and most recently, and only Murders in the Building. Both are comedic geniuses in their own right, but together they are always electric, and this episode of Smartless is no exception. I don't know if I've laughed more in a single episode than this one. We discuss their career arcs both separately and as a comedy team, how they met, who is more difficult to work with, and what motivates them today. Is Steve a better banjo player than Marty as a singer? Find out on this bicentennial episode of Smartless. Follow Smartless in the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Smartless ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Plus, you get to hear Sean cry. What a loser!